Are you fit? Are you strong? Are you healthy? If you're not, do you want to be? If you are, do you want to get fitter, stronger, and healthier? And how would we know? And is it possible that there's lots of tests that, yes, you could go to a doctor or an exercise professional and they will tell you what your resting heart rate is or your blood pressure. Your doctor can tell you what your cholesterol levels are, what your blood sugar levels are. Your exercise professional should be able to test your body fat. They could weigh you, they could measure you, and they might come up with an answer to whether or not you're healthy, fit, and strong. Or you might look at somebody else and say, well, they must be fit and they must be strong because look at them. They've got a beautiful body. But is it possible that a beautiful body may not be healthy? It might not even be fit and might not even be strong. And is it possible that there are bodies that may not look so beautiful, but they're really fit, really healthy, and really strong? And how about, is it personal? What if you look in your mirror and you love what you see? What if you have the energy to do all the things that you want to do, you perform at your best, and you are getting the results that you want from the way you live your life, and that is your best measure, your best test? So what if you didn't have to get poked and prodded? What if somebody didn't have to pinch your body fat or put you on some scales or wrap a tape measure around your bits? What if you didn't have to go to the doctor to have all of those internal things measured? Are there ways to work it out for yourself? And I always ask this question, if there was no doctor or if there was no exercise professional or personal trainer, how would we work out if we were fit and strong? How can you tell? And I'll ask the question again, is it possible that's different for everybody? So how about this? There's those four great questions. Do you wake up with a stack of energy and maintain it throughout the day? Number one is energy. Do you have a stack of energy? If no, could there be some things that need to change? If yes, congratulations. Are you performing at your best? Whatever it is that you do and your life's going to be different to everybody else's, everything that you need to do every day, can you perform at your 100% best? If not, do you need to make some changes? Do you want to make some changes? And if you are performing at your best at everything that you do, congratulations, woohoo! Could that be a great test? What about the way you look in the mirror, the way you feel? And they're two different things, but we'll go with the things that we can actually touch and feel. So when you look in the mirror, could that be a really great test of how you look? And other people might not like the way you look in your mirror, but do you like the way you look in your mirror? So if you stand stark naked with the lights on or out in bright sunshine and you're really happy with the shape of your body, could you be on track? Does it mean you're healthy? Maybe not, but could it mean that you are mentally healthy because you love the way you look? You love it. Because is it possible there's a lot of people who look in the mirror and they've got a beautiful body, but they don't love the way they look? They see the imperfections rather than the gorgeousness. So consequently, they're not mentally healthy. And this is the really important question. Not just physically healthy, fit and strong, but what about mentally healthy, fit and strong? How's your relationship with your body? Do you like it? So when you look in the mirror, do you like what you see? When you're in the shower and you're soaping yourself down, do you like it the way your body feels? When you touch your own body, do you like the way it feels? And some people like hard and some people like soft and some people like somewhere in between. But what do you want your body to feel like? And then there's the how do you feel, which has a lot to do with energy and performance. But on a day-to-day basis, do you just feel good? Do you feel happy? Do you feel satisfied? Do you love your life? Do you enjoy your day versus are you always stressed or angry or frustrated, or do you get annoyed really easily? And is it possible that there could be some mental health challenges there because you're not mentally enjoying your life? And I'll ask the question again, is it possible that there's people who have beautiful bodies and they've got a great resting heart rate and great blood sugar levels and great cholesterol levels, and technically the doctor would say that they're healthy, but they just don't love their life? So they're really stressed. And is it possible that that stress could show up somewhere in their health? The medical professionals in the world are suggesting that that stress could be one of the biggest health challenges in the world. Because if our body's under stress, if it is not at ease, is it more likely to become diseased? Whoa. So the mental side of how we look and feel, the mental side of our health, is that really important too? So there's those four questions: energy, performance, the way you look and feel, and are you getting the results that you want with the way that you live your life? Then there's some really fun ones. So yes, there's the mirror. Stand in front of the mirror, stark naked. If you want to know how much body fat you've got, how about jump up and down? Except for the things that are supposed to wobble, is it possible that the excess fat, the stuff that sits between your muscle and your skin, that subcutaneous layer of fat, that will probably wobble. Now, some people don't want any wobble. Some people want a little bit of wobble, and some people don't care how much wobble. So could that be a personal thing? The other one to have a look at is your posture. As we get older, if we don't have strong muscles and strong bones, we start to get slouchy. So maybe when you look in the mirror, have a look. Am I holding myself upright? Does my body look like it's healthy? And if not, what do I need to do to improve my posture? Could that be a great thing to check up on? And that's why I like to call it a health check rather than a test. I hate tests. I don't know about you, but every time I went to a test at school, I found it to be a reasonably stressful situation. If I'm just checking how I'm doing, which wouldn't it be awesome if school was that? We're just checking how your knowledge is going to make sure that you're getting everything that you need. So here's a check in with yourself to make sure that your body is healthy, fit and strong, or it's on track to being healthy, fit and strong. So yes, there's the mirror. Then there's your posture. Then when you touch your body, do you like the way it feels? Then there's this really cool thing that the inside of your body, if you want it to be healthy, your body will tell you pretty quickly. When you go to the bathroom, number ones and number twos, long clear wheeze obviously means that you're hydrated. And if your brain cells are predominantly water and the rest of our body is 60 to 70% water, is it possible that if we're dehydrated, we won't feel very good? So if you've got long, clear wheeze every day, is it possible that you've got your water situation sorted so that you know that you're hydrated? So the thing that your body needs to function, and we always focus, don't we, on when we talk about health, we seem to focus on what are you eating and how much exercise are you doing? But what about water? You can live your whole life without exercise. Some people do. You can live apparently 3 to 4 weeks without food. Some people try it on a regular basis now. But what about water? If we don't have any water at all from our food or we don't drink any fluid, how long do we survive for? And it's been suggested not too many days. So if I've got long clear wheeze, could that be a great sign that I'm hydrated? Woohoo! The next one that's really cool to check is your number twos. How often do you do those? How often do they come out and slide out easily? That's the big one. Unfortunately, when it comes to bowel and colon cancer, it's a big killer for the blokes in particular. And usually it's because they're not pooing enough and they're not... what's coming out is coming out in a strained motion. And I don't know why people get embarrassed about talking about poos. Everybody does it. Poos and farts, very important. So don't hold them in. Make sure they're coming out. And if they're not coming out at least once a day, and twice a day is awesome, then what do we need to do to make sure that they are coming out, sliding out easily? So a great little check to do there is eat some beetroot, some licorice, some corn. That will tell you how quick your gastrointestinal transit time is. That's pretty cool. So when you eat licorice, beetroot or corn, take note when you eat it and then take a look and see how quickly it comes out. And ideally, if your gastrointestinal transit time is around the 12 to 24 hours, it means that the crappy stuff is coming out of your body. You often hear you don't want a body that's got toxins in it or you need to detoxify. But what if when you put stuff into your body, it comes out really fast? Another quick example. At our house, we get really excited if we get, I don't like getting food poisoning, but your body will tell you really quickly if you've eaten something that's not good for your body. You'll vomit, you'll poo, or both at the same time. And most people don't like that, but I love it because that's a really great check-in that your immune system's working really well. If you've eaten some poisonous thing or some toxic thing or some germy thing, you don't want that festering inside your body. So the quicker your body gets it out, the better. And if you've ever had that experience where you've eaten something and a couple of seconds later it feels like you're off to the bathroom to vomit it up or poo it out, that's a really good sign that your immune system's working really well. And if you're pooing on a regular basis, it means your gastrointestinal transit time is fast, which means that's why we call it poo. We don't want poo in there, we want it out of there. How about that? So if you are wanting a healthy, fit, strong body, look in the mirror, look in the toilet. How cool is that? The next place is your clothes. And if you have some articles of clothing that you really love to wear, would it be great to keep wearing them? If you have got a style that suits you and you've got some beautiful clothes that might have been expensive to buy, wouldn't it be sad to have to throw them away because they don't fit you anymore? So how about have an article of clothing or several articles of clothing that you try on a fairly regular basis or you wear on a regular basis that make you look amazing and you can keep wearing them because they fit you. What a great check-in. If you're squishing into your clothes, could it mean that you need to make some changes? Because the clothes size doesn't change, often our body size does. Reverse of that, if your clothes are too loose, then ask yourself, why am I losing weight? Now, you may want to be losing weight and you might have a celebration and a party, but sometimes people lose weight because they're stressed or they lose weight because they're sick. So it's a really great idea just to check in with your clothes every so often. And just as an interesting side note for your mental health, the stylists will suggest that we shouldn't have anything in our cupboard that doesn't make us feel good. So if you've got any clothes that you put them on and you don't like the way they make you feel, it's been suggested, get rid of them. How's that for a great idea? Woohoo! Yes, you can weigh yourself and yes, you can measure yourself and yes, you can have a body fat test done. But the challenge with all of those is they don't really tell you that much. Body fat tests are pretty inaccurate. Usually they've got a fair bit more to do with water than fat. And unfortunately or fortunately, we need to be hydrated. You can lose a lot of weight if you lose water, but you won't function very well. So if you want to lose weight fast, you can do what the jockeys do or what the martial artists do, is they make weight by getting becoming dehydrated. But how does your brain function and how does your body function if you're dehydrated? So that's weight's probably not a really great idea to use as a check-in for how healthy you are. Oh, she's a healthy weight, but what does that actually mean? If you're losing weight because you're losing bone mineral density, which means you'll end up with osteoporosis, the bone thinning disease. If you're losing weight because of you're losing muscle, that means your metabolism will slow down, you'll get weaker and you'll get older really fast. So you don't want your muscles to weigh lighter and you certainly don't want to be lighter because you're dehydrated. So what does weight really tell you? Same with measuring. It's really interesting. If you're going to get measurements done, how about use your clothes because they don't change size. When a person measures you with a tape measure, again, technically not very accurate. They've got to put it in exactly the same spot every time. Does water have anything to do with it? And what is it really telling you? Whereas your clothes will tell you because they don't change size. They don't go up or down. Isn't that awesome? Then your resting heart rate is a really cool measure for fitness. It's really easy. Just measure or test, or I don't like that word test. Just check in, even if it's only for 15 seconds. How many times did your heart beat for 15 seconds? Times it by four. That'll give you a resting heart rate. Most of the fitness devices now will tell you what your resting heart rate is. And it's a really good check-in that tells you how fit you are. And if you want to get fitter, what a great way to work out that you're getting fitter, because your resting heart rate will go down. The harder you exercise, the fitter you'll get. So your resting heart rate will be lower. Isn't that amazing how the human body works? Work it really hard. Work it really intensely. Get really puffed. And then for the rest of the day, your heart rate will be so much lower. So your heart will literally not wear out because it doesn't have to beat as many times because you're really fit. So resting heart rate's a really good one. How quickly you recover after you get puffed is another great sign of how fit you are. Often people share with me, oh, Rowie, I got really puffed. I mustn't be very fit. No, fit people will get puffed really fast and unfit people get puffed really fast. Isn't that awesome? If you put an effort in, we're all going to get puffed really quickly. But the fit people will recover, their resting heart rate will go back to, or their heart rate will go back to resting really quickly. Whereas if you're not very fit, it'll take you longer. So what another great way to measure, check in with how fit you are, because your resting heart rate will come down, but your ability to recover really quickly after sprinting, that will be quicker. So what a great measurement. I did a really hard sprint yesterday or a week ago. It took me 30 seconds to recover and now it only takes me 20 seconds to recover. It might take 5 minutes to recover, and then in a month's time you check it again, it only takes 2 minutes. So that's all very personal, and don't let anybody tell you what to do or what it should be. Just get really puffed and check in for yourself. How long does it take me to get my heart rate back to normal so that you're not breathing heavy at all? And then just keep a check on that and see how you're going. Isn't that awesome? Strength is an easy one. How strong are you? It's interesting because if you can lift heavier, you're getting stronger. Isn't that amazing? Woohoo! So if you go in and put in a big effort, and this is the thing that's always fascinates me when it comes to exercise selection and variety. If I keep changing my exercises, I actually don't know if I'm getting stronger. I have to check in with a particular exercise, keep doing it, and if I'm getting stronger with that particular exercise, obviously I'm getting stronger. But if one day I do one leg exercise and the next week I do a different leg exercise and the next week I do a different leg exercise, how do I know that my legs are getting stronger? So pick one of the great leg exercises like squats or lunges or deadlifts, lifting something up off the ground and putting it back down again. And if you can lift something heavier, it means you're getting stronger. Isn't that awesome? Woohoo! If you can do one push-up and next time you can do 5 push-ups and next time you can do 10 push-ups, obviously you're getting stronger. That's the beautiful thing about the human body. It will tell you how strong you are. And we often don't notice because we just, and there's a great question, how many times should I do an exercise? Well, nobody should be able to tell you that. And if they do, my question is, how can they tell you that? Because if I'm doing an exercise, I'm going to keep going till I can't do any more. Should we be limited by a number? Of course not. Now, we might be aiming for a number, but that's not the number to reach. Surely that's the number to beat. So if somebody says you should do 10 of that exercise, surely that's after 10 is when you start getting stronger. So if you can do, and I'll rephrase that, keep going till you can't do any more. Could that be a good idea? And if you think you can't do any more, definitely can't do, what if you aim to do one more or half of one more? Is it possible that, number one, that's where you get really strong but also mentally tough? Because the neuroscientists will share with us happily that we get mentally tough when we keep going after we want to give up. So every exercise repetition I do after I think I can't do any more, every time I sprint after I think I can't do any more, that's how I know that I'm getting mentally tougher, because I push through it when it's really hard. So there's a great thing to test your mental strength and your mental fitness. Do you give up? Is it possible that if you want to get mentally tougher and stronger, that you push through the tough times? So every time you come up against a challenge, rather than I can't do it, it's too hard, what if you say I can do this, or how can I do this, and I'm not going to give up? Another great question, if you give up before you are finished, the successful people in the world will tell you that. I don't stop when it's time, I stop when I'm done. A lot of people work 9 to 5, but the people that are really successful in their career or their business, they don't have a time frame that they work, they just do the mission, and when it's finished, they can tick the box. So from a mental fitness and a mental strength point of view, what a great question to ask ourselves. Do I keep going after I think I can't do any more? Do I push through a challenge, or do I just give up because it's all too hard? What an even better suggestion by the best in the world is to mentally test ourselves, check in with ourselves. Some people suggest once a year, a couple of times a year, might be once a week, once a day. Do something that gets you out of your zone of comfort, or do something that pushes you really hard physically and mentally. So something that you know that's going to be hard, but you do it anyway because that's your check-in to make sure that you're getting mentally tougher, physically tougher. So I can happily share that marathon once a year is one of my check-ins. What a great way to find out how mentally tough you are is run 42.2 kilometres. You might do an Ironman, you might do a 200-kilometre bike ride or some kind of endurance event to check in that you're mentally and physically tough. If you pick to do something, is it possible that if you give up on anything, whether it's a game or an event, or a education process or an exercise session, is it possible that if we give up before the end, we get into the habit of giving up, so we become mentally weak? If we keep going and we don't stop till it's finished, or we don't stop until we can't do any more and then we do one more, is it possible that's how we get mentally tougher? Woohoo! So how do you know that you're healthy, fit and strong? Do you have long, clear wees? Are you doing number twos? Do you love what you see in the mirror? Do you have a stack of energy? Are you performing at your best? How's your resting heart rate? Are you continually getting stronger when you lift heavy things? And isn't that awesome that that's a great way to find out if you're getting stronger, because you can lift heavier? Woohoo! And then what are you doing on a day-to-day basis to get out of your comfort zone, to challenge your brain and to challenge your body? Because that could be proof, yes, that you're getting stronger and tougher physically and mentally. Now, what's the purpose of all of that? What does a healthy, fit, strong body, what difference does it make in your life? Or the reverse question of that, if you're weak, if you're unfit, if you're unhealthy, what is your life going to be like versus I'm really fit, I'm really strong, I'm really healthy? The world's going to throw germs, bugs, viruses and diseases at us all the time, but fit, strong, healthy people don't get them, or if they do, they recover so much faster. We are likely in our lifetime to get injured, but if I'm unfit and I'm weak and I'm unhealthy, my body doesn't recover quickly. It doesn't rehabilitate quickly. It takes longer. One of the great questions I always ask if I ever have to go to the doctor or any kind of allied health professional, they usually give you an average recovery time. Well, I hate the word average, so I always ask, okay, so that's the average time. What's the quickest time somebody has recovered from this injury? What's the quickest time somebody's gotten better from this particular challenge? And great thing there, it puts the doctor or the medical professional in a different headspace because I realize that you want to get better fast. But what are you telling yourself? Not I'm average and the average time to recover from this ankle injury is 3 weeks. How about what's the quickest time and I'm going to beat that quickest time? And what does mental strength and mental health have to do with physical health or vice versa? And is it possible that we all live in the same body, our brain and our muscles and our bones and our heart and our lungs? And if we make sure that the entire system is healthy, fit and strong, and the two big ones to be really aware of is your central nervous system, your firing system and your hormonal system. A lot of people complain about their life being terrible because their hormones are out of whack. Is it possible that if we're fit and if we're strong and if we're healthy, that all of those systems will be working together, including our hormonal system? And I share that so passionately because as a woman, I made an absolute decision as a young woman that as I became an older, chronologically older woman, I wouldn't let my hormones control my life. And it's a really great position to be in because when you're really fit and strong, mentally and physically, you can be in control of your hormones. Woohoo! So if you want to be healthy, if you want to be fit and you want to be strong, rather than having somebody else tell you that you are, how about decide for yourself? This is how I'm going to work out, whether I'm healthy, fit and strong. And most importantly, I always ask this question. Do you jump out of bed wanting to get up? And when you go to bed, are you excited to go to sleep and you sleep deep knowing that tomorrow is going to be another awesome day? And could that be a great way to measure whether your life itself is healthy, fit and strong? If you want to be healthy, if you want to be fit, if you want to be strong, is it possible that that's a choice? Ha ha, what a great question.